It's me, Mario, and you're listening to the Dude Wait What podcast. Here we go!
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Oh man, I missed that line.
That said, Toya.
Yes.
Your picture's fucked up.
Thank you, and welcome to the Dude Wait What podcast special War for Cybertron Transformers edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're stealing a bit of Moonbase 2's thunder this week. Are we? Are we not? I don't know.
Yes, we are.
With me this week are Bob.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm here.
Yes. Moon.
Hello. I'm back from my week hiatus.
And Jamie.
Hi, everybody.
All right, so...
Nobody missed you, Moon. Nobody missed you, Moon.
Nah, no, nobody missed me. Just like nobody misses Alex and Sean right now, because they're fucking BotCon.
Who are they?
The bastards.
Yep, that's what they are. They're bastards.
Y'all are much more chatty this episode than ever before.
That's because sorry. Would you like us to be silent?
Yeah, shut the fuck up. No, I'm
considering
kidding.
I woke up at 7 this morning, was in a chat with you guys for about 4 hours, took a nap, and
you just dropped off while talking to us.
That's usually Jamie's job.
That is normally Jamie's job, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting upset. That's usually at nighttime, too. This was at fucking, 10 o'clock in the morning.
So, to bring everyone up to speed, what's going on this weekend? If you hadn't heard, there is BotCon this weekend, which is, I think, one of North America's largest Transformers conventions. And this same weekend happens to mark the release of Transformers War for Cybertron on all the major systems. PS3, 360, PC. There's a different version on the Nintendo Wii and the DS. But we're mostly going to focus on the PS3 and 360 and PC versions of War for Cybertron. And we're going to basically make it a Transformers-themed episode. We are still talking about video games, but, we're all of us here are Transformers fans. We all collect the toys, and we'd like to share that with, our general audience today. So, folks, how far is everyone through War for Cybertron? I picked it up yesterday, and I am just about two-thirds of the way into the Autobot campaign, so I'm almost done with the game.
You've done it.
I beat it within 12 hours of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm actually going back and playing the co-op on hard now.
Excellent.
Yeah. Have you done a level with it on hard yet?
Yeah, I haven't completed it yet because Alex and Eric, I have $1, are complete retards. We're on the first stage of the Decepticon campaign, Dark Energon, right? And you remember that part where you got to jump across the broken bridge?
By the way, hang on. Before we go any further, spoilers!
Oh my god, yeah, spoilers. Okay, so you know the part where you're jumping across that broken bridge, right? Yeah.
It's only the first level.
It's the first level. Remember, keep that in mind, people. First level. We're jumping across the broken bridge. Either Alex or Eric kept dying or falling off. It's like, seriously, you guys are fucking useless.
I'm glad they're gonna be they're gonna have that information put out for the entire world to hear, Moon.
Much love to Alex. Eric,
To be fair, Moon. We both played it on normal afterwards, didn't we?
Yes.
How did that go?
You want to bring that up? Okay, we're in the room with the giant fans, right? I blow up the fans while I'm far away. I'm barricade, right? And I transform into the car. I jump over and I fall into a fan.
No. What happens is there's a big huge thing of fans and there's a big drop, but you're not supposed to drop because there's more fans there and you're supposed to take it slow and not kill yourself. Fuck Knuckle. Screaming along as fast as you can, falls off the thin beam, and then falls to his death. And I literally just went, fuck this shit.
No. I didn't fall to my death. I actually spun around on the fan.
Oh, yeah, you got stuck on the fan, didn't you? I was
spinning around on the fan for a couple of minutes. It was actually quite fun.
Quick question. Jamie, how far are you in the game?
Awesome. I tell you what, this is Bob, everyone, not Jamie. Jamie's died again.
Has he?
I think so. It happens a lot. Sorry, he's like Prime. He keeps coming back. I've got 2 levels left to do.
Okay.
Fuck, I really need to stay off Facebook right now. Well, I really do.
Shush.
Sorry.
Right, so, okay, let's get some impressions of the game so far in terms of single player and in terms of multiplayer. What do you guys think of the game as a whole?
It's a good third-person action womp.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not make any bones about this game. It's not clever. And to be honest, it plays like every other good third-person shooter. I do use the terms good because there's some bad ones that don't seem to work.
Right.
It works very well in its third-person setting.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicle transformations are useful, but not necessary, which is how it should be.
Okay.
And the weapons are all very good and feel very aggressive in their own way. But everyone will end up finding the weapons that they like most, and it appears to be pretty much the same ones from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, and I know that everyone else is going to bring this up, lack of ammo.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
For a game that's basically about gunning everything down your path,
now,
it's not a lot of ammo.
Bob, you were with me last night when I was playing my first level, and I ran out of ammunition. And the thing was that the door for the area would not open until all the enemies in the area have died. That's basically how the game works. And I was left with one enemy on a very high ledge, so I couldn't melee him, so I had to wait for my 2 AI companions to destroy this enemy. 2 AI companions took 10 minutes to kill one enemy.
That's always fun. That's wonderful.
Jesus Christ. That
he can't save you now.
The AI companions are they're stupid. Yeah, they're shite.
Well, no, the thing is, right, they have their moments of brilliance. Right? I've often gone into combat, and they've killed a load of the foes. And then other times I've gone into combat, and they've stood there and watched people run around them. It's too unpredictable, which I dislike more than bad AI.
Now, one more thing, Bob. You said that you liked how the weapons felt. I have to disagree on that. I feel like the weapons have no significant impact. Sometimes I can't tell when I'm hitting an opponent, you know?
It depends on what you're hitting, though. The heavy things do shrug off the damage until you hit them really hard with a single hit.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. For example, when you hit the big enemies you'll meet later on with chain guns.
Mm-hmm.
For those guys, if you hit them with normal weaponry, they just generally shrug it off until they fall down. What you need to do is hit them with an explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And then but when they're stunned,
uh-huh,
they're stunned far more than a normal guy is with normal ammo.
Oh,
they go down to one knee, and they've got to wait and pick up their gun again.
Speaking of big enemies, I just want to bring up something. I found a really easy way to kill the brutes, the big guys with the shields and the hammers.
I want to hear this because I found it a pretty easy way too.
Okay, so my way is this. You throw an EMP grenade, and when it hits them, it basically levitates them off the ground a little bit, and they just stand there being shocked. You just walk behind them, take out the biggest gun you have, and start hammering into their back, and that's it. That's all she wrote.
Oh, right.
Because I took out a bunch of brutes, which is how I got the achievement. Mm-hmm. With 2 shots of an EMP shotgun, and that was it.
I guess I would too, because it's basically an EMP thing.
Yeah.
The EMP grenade does that to everyone. It's fantastic. It's great against those guys with the heavy machine guns as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking hate them. Oh, yeah, they're bricks.
No. I love them because I when you kill them, they drop the heavy machine gun. I'm like, yes!
Well, yeah, that's the good part about it, but they're just fucking bricks. They come
Hang on. Jamie's back. Jamie, I just want to ask you real quick. How far are you into the game?
I'm halfway through the Autobot campaign, but I have done the first chapter of the Decepticon campaign.
Okay, so you're playing Autobots first, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I'd be awkward.
All right. Okay, so we're saying, the game itself, it's pretty fun. Yeah, I was going to complain that there's a lack of enemies, but then again, after running into like stuff like the spiders, there is a fair diversity among the it's got a better spread of enemies than say Gears of War has, you know.
I was going to say, it's to be fair, when you play a game, you can have 4 million. I mean, even within the types of enemies you have, which are very default and basic, you have different types.
Yeah.
You know, different, slightly different schemes.
Well, the fact that we had to have that discussion about how to take down the brute, that just shows that there is a little strategy going on here.
Yeah. I just, you know, I honestly, you know what I do?
Mm-hmm.
I run around, jump over them, let my AI opponents take, you know, get distracted, distract them, and then shoot them twice in the back.
Because the AI opponents are shiny.
I try that, but to me, they just always lock in on me, so I have to resort to the grenade.
You have to literally run away from them, and then they stop shooting at you.
I don't do run away. That's the thing.
This is why we're all shit with the scientists and multiplayer.
Moon knows this from me playing Modern Warfare 2. I do not run away. I run headlong with all guns blazing into my opponent.
All guns blazing? You used riot shields, bro.
That too.
There's no gun attached to a riot shield. As epic as that would be, there's no gun attached to a riot shield.
No. Bob, Moon, you just haven't played far enough. You see, if you get 10 kills with the riot shield, right, you get, like, a machine gun attachment for the riot shield that, like, tapes under it, right? It's your secondary.
It's the red dot sight I like to get for the riot shield. And the sniper scope? The sniper scope is epic.
Do they have thermals on them too? Because I heard thermals. Thermals fucking hate them anyway.
No. They did have thermals on them, but they were considered too cheap, so they took them off. You can now, if you unlock the blue tech attachment, you could stick a Kimbo Rangers tape your sniper scope, and you just sit down. It's a new tactic. It's like camping. But you just sit,
folks,
behind
folks,
it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. This is the highest level play in Modern Warfare 2 you can have. Riot Shield
Prestige 11. You unlock all this on the 11th Prestige.
Yeah, totally true. Totally true.
Legit.
Yeah, no, yeah, listen, you can go hack the game to go get 11th Prestige. I'm sure Xbox Live support won't mind. They totally won't ban you for that.
Especially, you can go ask the pro about that, too. He'll do it for you.
Oh, yeah, and also all those guys who say, I can level you up if you just give me Microsoft points. They're really good people to speak to. they won't fuck you over at all.
I actually took a look at one of those guys' websites. That is such a crock of shit, dude. That is just so...
I know, it's hilarious.
They're like, they charge you like $50 for, a year access to their hack lobby? What? It's stupid. Anyway, back to War for Cybertron for a second. Okay, so we're talking about, first of all, we're talking about the mechanics of the game. I want to talk about the story mode. First of all, the voice actors in the game are actually better than I was hoping for.
I need to say this right now.
Yes.
Barricade,
mm-hmm.
being voiced by Tom from Toonami, fantastic.
Also, I don't know who Tom from Toonami is, so yay. Also, the most important one I found, and I know you found this, Toya, and I know you found this, Moon, is that there's a black Power Ranger voicing Bumblebee.
Well, if you want to be technical, from what Issa said on my Facebook status, he's now a Yellow Ranger.
We're talking about Johnny Young Bosch, of course, folks.
Why is he a Yellow Ranger? Why don't I understand this joke?
Because Bumblebee's yellow.
He's yellow.
So he's gone from a black ranger to a green ranger to a yellow ranger.
Oh, God. Johnny Young Bosch, for anybody who might not know, aside from being in Power Rangers, he was also the voice of Nero in Devil May Cry 4. And he's also the voice, correct me if I'm wrong on this movie, he's also the voice of Ichigo in Bleach.
Ichigo Kurosaki, yes.
Yeah, and I have to say, yeah, he does a fantastic voice for Bumblebee. His voice fits the character very, very well.
I would say it was perfect. To be honest, he should voice Bumblebee from now on.
I think that's unanimous amongst all of us. Jamie, what do you think? Do you like his voice as Bumblebee?
Yep.
There we go. Johnny Young Bosch for Bumblebee for life.
Yes, for life. Oh, Toya, what'd you say about him before?
Oh,
what'd you think you were playing as?
Oh, it sounded a lot like Sonic the Hedgehog. His version of Bumblebee. Because like, there's a point where you have to jump down a series of conveyor belts or whatever, and one of the other Autobots goes, "Oh, we have to jump down there. We have to navigate these, and we have to jump." And Bumblebee goes, "That sounds great." I'm like, "Oh my god, it's Sonic the Hedgehog."
Yeah, it was. It is crazy.
Actually, I did say earlier, I find the dialogue in the Decepticon missions to be a lot more entertaining and a lot better written. I mean, at least maybe this is just their personalities. But one of my favorite lines was somebody giving a report to Megatron. It's like, "Megatron, the Autobots are putting up a good fight." Megatron whips around and goes, "Then give them a better fight."
Yeah.
These are lines that will become classic later on, man.
The thing is, the problem is that there's a lot more scope to be creative with the bad guy storyline, because bad guys themselves normally have a deeper character.
Yeah.
Remember, this is based off the G1 universe, so the characters are quite... G1, that is the original Transformers series for everyone out there. It's quite almost one-dimensional, you know what I mean? You have good guys, you have bad guys. There's not a lot of mixing and matching, and what you have is, you know, stereotypical leader, stereotypical witty guy, stereotypical old guy, stereotypical headstrong guy, and that's kind of what you've got for the Autobots. No, there's nothing wrong with the dialogue, and there's nothing wrong with the story. It's just not as entertaining dialogue-wise as the Decepticon campaign, because they're more limited in what they can and can't say.
Can I just say right now, my favorite Decepticon character is Breakdown. Breakdown is...
Only because his incessant whining won them the day.
Not just that, one of my favorite lines is when Megatron calls in, I think it was a bomb strike on their current location, and the bombs go off, and Breakdown stands up and goes, "You're insane!" I mean, that worked very well, Lord Megatron.
Yeah, I mean, excellent idea, Lord Megatron.
It's brilliant. Oh, and Moon is right now giving us some links to some toy pictures. Because so Baka... my god! Blur! Generations Blur looks awesome! I am buying that toy.
Yeah, you were gonna come in your pants when you saw that.
I was gonna say, we are recording now.
Sorry. But no, it is sort of related. It's Transformers related. And,
no, it's not. It's not related at all.
Shut up!
We're not back to the 80s. Wait, what?
Oh, are we just gonna, rip on every other podcast today? Is that what it is?
We're not ripping on them.
We're mentioning them.
We're just commenting on them.
I'm telling you right now, I'm saving that Blur picture. I'm writing an entire article on that later for Tomopop. I'm telling you that right now.
Now you're dogging on your own.
I'm not dogging on them. I'm voting them. Oh my god, that car mode looks sweet. Sorry.
Anyway.
Yes. Talk about the game. I'm saving pictures.
Put it back in your pants.
I can't. So, yeah. My sniper rifle's too long.
Way.
That's gross.
Yeah, we just lost listeners, people. We have just lost listeners.
Hey, at least we're all overage on this one. We're not underaged.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, there'll be no honey on the bee's face in this one.
All right, let's stop you right there. Anyway, so yeah, looking at Blur there. All right. So back to the game for a second. So we're liking the story mode. We're liking. I haven't had a chance to spin around much on the multiplayer mode just yet. I've leveled up maybe my scientist to 1 and my leader to 2. So far, I'm kind of liking the leader. I like the buffing of the leader class, how you can, you know, the battle cry and all this stuff. Those are some nice perks, and I do understand that it does get better as you go along and as you level up and you really start customizing your own class. But from the onset, it's a little limited. There's not a whole lot to do at the very beginning. It's only as you start unlocking stuff. But that is sort of the formula for Modern Warfare and other games of that kind.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, we are gonna have
to go anywhere.
I don't know. We are gonna have a kind of a party later with a lot of other people, a lot of listeners to the podcast, a lot of Transformers fans are gonna come online and play some War for Cybertron with us multiplayer. I've been trying to finish the story mode before that, but I don't think that's gonna happen right now. But yeah,
whatever. I will be
unless you're magically playing right now. Are you?
I'm not. Unfortunately, I could be, but my TV's way too far away for me to aim properly, like from the headset.
Oh, like that would make a difference.
Yeah.
That's you. That's what you sound like. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Pretty much everybody is waiting.
That's for, like, Family Guy. That's what Family Guy sounds like.
I've got 6 friends on Xbox right now, 5 of which are sitting in the multiplayer lobbies on War for Cybertron.
Well, tell them to start playing without us for now. Jesus.
I posted that on Moonbase too.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Wow, we're really talking about War for Cybertron a lot today, aren't we? We're not rambling incoherently in random directions. Why am I the one dragging this back in? Toya, that's your job.
We are talking about the game. We're talking about the multiplayer. That's what we're talking about.
Shit. Babbling, it's multiplayer.
Babbling.
Babbling on the multiplayer talk.
It works for me. What do we think about the character designs for the game, though?
Awesome.
I like them.
I have awesome. to
yeah, I'll knock that.
I have to say, initially, I didn't like them, and my problem with it, artistically speaking, is that when you have a game set on Cybertron and you have all these Cybertronian modes, there's not a lot of... Okay, put it to you this way. Part of why I like Transformers is that you can take a realistic vehicle and then reconfigure that to look like a robot. That's from a design standpoint. That's how these guys design the robots. But when you're working from a fictional, not real vehicle, you can just, you know, make up a vehicle that turns into a robot. And there's not a lot of creativity, at least I thought, in that. But I have to say, a couple of the modes in this are pretty interesting. And I like some of the more SUV-type modes, like the Ironhide model and the Soundwave model. Those are pretty nice. Prime, I'm kind of here or there with. He's a little plain. The Jets are a little here and there, but they are fairly solid designs.
Who are you kidding? You like the blue one.
Shut up.
Oh, I do have to say, while we're talking about the Jets,
yes,
I did notice that Jetfire's mold in the game looks a lot like his classics counterpart toy.
It does. It does. So much so that I my Autobot scientist class is a blue version of Jetfire that I've named Treadbolt.
That's awesome.
It is. It's sweet looking too. I got the colors almost exact. It's kind of funny though. I find the color selections vary between Autobot and Decepticon. The Decepticon colors have a much more limited palette, and they're kind of almost pastel colors, strangely enough. I have no idea what that is.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they're just trying for people to not like particularly make real characters from the game. I guess that's what they're doing. I did, however, make a Shattered Glass Optimus Prime, and I'm sure I'm the only person online who'll be doing that. Sarcasm, sarcasm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Just so you know, we are sounding more and more just like a Transformers podcast than a video game podcast, so, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we are covering a Transformers game, so...
No, yes, but what, I know.
What Bob is saying is that there are some people who may not know what it is we're talking about.
Yes. Thank you.
But I'm not about to explain Shattered Glass right now.
No one is. Don't worry.
That bullshit is just no. That's a whole podcast by itself. No,
we could save that for the Autobot City.
Yeah, let's let you know Time Lord and those guys do that.
Anyway,
so yeah, Moon, you actually bought. Actually, no, not just Moon. Bob, you bought some of the War for Cybertron toys as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got them all.
You bastard.
So far, the ones that have been released. I have Prime and Bumblebee.
I just have Bumblebee.
Awesome and very accurate representations of. The of the things in the game.
Let me ask you something on the Prime though. Are those windows on his chest? Are those the real windows for the vehicle, or are they fake windows?
They are, but they're not as big in vehicle mode as they are in robot mode.
Fair enough.
He gets like an armor plate that goes over the top of his chest area and everything.
That's pretty cool.
So it's quite small. It's very good.
Speaking of that, the transforming animations in the game, those are actually pretty well done.
Bob, you want to talk about Jazz?
Oh, Jazz, who was an exclusive in the UK to Amazon and to game, not gay.
I said game.
And of course, I've also got Shockwave, who was an exclusive to Blockbuster. And
now explain how you got both of them, because this is an interesting story.
It's a wonderful story, and he's a prick for doing it.
I was going to game, and they were saying to me, kept saying to me, oh, we're not going to get it, or if we are getting it, we haven't heard about it. So I thought, right, they're not getting a pre-order. And then I found out online the day before it came out that Blockbuster did the Shockwave. So I said, right, that's it, I'm going to get that.
Uh-huh.
So spoke to them, got that sorted, went down the next day, bought it, went to game afterwards because I was looking for something cheap to buy my time, maybe get Splinter Cell Double Agent again or something.
Uh-huh.
And they had my pre-ordered copy there, which I hadn't paid for yet.
Uh-huh.
And it had Jazz on it. So what I did was I opened up my copy from Blockbuster, took out my Shockwave code, put it in my bag. I did this in front of the guy in the store. He didn't care. Gave him my copy of the game.
Yes.
Traded it in and got their copy of the game.
So when you traded in the brand spanking new copy of the game, how much did they give you for it? Like, was it able to cover the cost of the new one?
Not completely, but mostly.
Mostly. Okay, so you did end up paying a little extra for the new character, so.
Well, yeah, I paid $5.
Usually, brand new games, at least over by me, mm-hmm. if you, like, say I traded in War for Cybertron the day I got it, it mm-hmm. probably would have been, like, half off. So I would have got, like, $30 back.
Not bad.
That oh, it was better than that. It was better than that. Like I said, I paid $5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I knew the guy in the store, so yay. So but yeah,
are these characters only for Escalation or whatever?
Escalation and the character model can be used in multiplayer when you do your create a character.
Oh, dude. Yes.
So this is why when I play as a scout in the Autobots, I have an incredibly awesome-looking car that breakdances when it transforms.
It's wonderful. We were doing Escalation, and I'm RC, he's Jazz, he walks in front of me, he's like, Moon, look. And he transforms like, fucking prick. You are.
He hated me. He actually just walked away from the battle. It was hilarious. He actually just walked away from me. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. And
Moon,
then he let me die.
Moon, you can't shoot them from over there, you only have a shotgun. I can snipe with a shotgun, sir.
I can. I'm that skilled.
one of my stranger complaints about the game, and you guys are really going to just think I'm nitpicking at this point, though, but I really do not like the fact that the weapons are basically Earth weapons made spacey. You've got a shotgun, you've got a pistol, you've got a sniper rifle, you've got a machine gun.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting, I don't know, something more creative. I mean, like, look, Halo's alien weapon.
If you say shit that like the stuff in Star Wars, I will punch you.
No.
Everyone knows Star Wars weapons are nonsense. The problem with Star Wars games, I'm just going to have this little rant. The problem with Star Wars games is the film. Because of the laser bolts in the film, it means that when you shoot guns in Star Wars games, it's really hard to hit people because the animation and the ammo has to be visible. So it slows down the combat. So it makes your fire less accurate.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the classing of the weapons. You've got a spread fire weapon. If you look at like a game like Halo, when they designed their alien weapons, they didn't necessarily... I mean, yes, there's a sniper rifle and there's a carbine, but they didn't necessarily design them around human weapons. Take something like the Needler, the Spiker...
The Needler is quite clearly a machine gun with exploding ammo. I've seen it before in games.
Needler, I love you. Needler, I do.
Yeah, but that's still
next
not.
Weapon.
That's still not.
Next weapon. Next weapon. It exists in real life. Next weapon.
It doesn't exist like that in real life, though.
No, what you mean, purple? No, it doesn't exist. Firing.
I'm just saying.
Crystal.
I'm just saying that
we don't
all
tend
it seems
not
to
have
me,
purple crystal guns in this.
All
day
it
age.
Seems to me is that okay. Now here's the thing, though. From a design standpoint, I can see why they went with that, because it's easier for a human being to look at a gun and say, okay, that's the shotgun, that's the machine gun, that's the heavy weapon. You know, you look at the silhouette of the weapon, you can tell. I can understand that, but I'm missing... To me, the most creative weapon in the game and the one that I like the most is the grenade launcher, because you can fire the grenade and detonate it remortely, and that's
oh,
kind
that's
of an interesting
mortar,
playpath.
Isn't it? That's the frag mortar.
Is it? Is that what...
Yeah,
I love that weapon. I can kill with that weapon. I mean, that was one of the first things I picked up in the game. And anytime I get that, I'm just I hog that weapon till the end of the.
As we're talking about this, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about this before. I like to go with a machine gun, an EMP shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I won't pick up any of the explosive weapons because outside of the fusion cannon, they're shit. Mm. Outside of the big giant cannons, turret guns, they're poop. They're just too weak. So I just use EMP shotgun. That or scatter blaster, which is a rapid firing shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you're saying, and that they're very limited in their design, I suppose. But the problem is, you've got to try and you've got to put weapons into a class. And without having this basis of close range firepower, rapid fire, more powerful, slow firing, slow reload, all this stuff that they've done, and I think they've balanced the weapons very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you've already pointed out, there's a weapon that you go with that I despise.
Yeah, yeah.
I used it in the fight at the end of the Decepticon campaign, mm-hmm. and I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And I threw it away and picked up another, the basic assault rifle. And that's a good sign, because it means that people pick different guns. Me and Moon, I know for a fact me and Moon, we both like our basic machine gun.
The Scrap Maker is...
The Scrap Maker's amazing, but I mean, like, the Neutron Assault Rifle.
Oh, yeah.
We both like that. That suits our gameplay.
The reason I like the grenade launcher is for crowd control, because there was that one fight against Zeta Prime where he keeps making those clones of himself.
I'm trying not to spoil.
Oh, fuck spoilers. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably picked up the game already anyway.
That's probably true.
Yeah, yeah. No, what I did was I used the grenade launcher and I just basically let the clones swamp my teammates. And as soon as they did, I fire one grenade, detonate it, and take care of all the clones at once.
I use skill instead.
Speaking of Zeta Prime, if you look up a bit from where I posted those pictures in the chat, mm-hmm. there's a little snippet that I posted from the Activision panel at BotCon.
Yes.
That I got off the TFW. Mm-hmm. They said that Zeta Prime and Sentinel Prime are the same guy.
Hmm.
And that the full name is Sentinel Zeta Prime. I think it's more War for Cybertron hardcover books are coming out. But.
Do you have a link to the live blog of that I can read back? Because there might be some interesting stuff we're talking about in that for the rest of the show here.
Yes, sir. Let me get to TFW.
Thank you.
Anyway, yes, back to I think the weapons are very well balanced. And although they may not be particularly imaginative, in a game like this with so much firepower and everything, you'd only end up making a gun that's so incredibly overpowered, nobody else would want to use anything else.
Mm.
I think that's the fusion cannon, personally, because I missed that in the Autobot campaign.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of a viable statement there. I mean, because I mean, how original can you get with weaponry these days? Well,
exactly.
No, I say that, but I mean, you play any of the Ratchet and Clank games, their weaponry, though ridiculous, is pretty inventive. It does some pretty inventive stuff. But
well, maybe
then again,
I don't play those games because they're.
But then again, those games don't have multiplayer, and like you were saying, you need to balance it for multiplayer.
Well, Let's have a look at, you used Halo as an example earlier. Plasma mm-hmm. pistol. They have the plasma gun in this that charges and shoots.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have laser pistols, just a different type of machine gun for shields. So, that falls into the same category. Mm-hmm. Needler, we've explained, is basically gun with exploding ammunition. Mm-hmm. In a game with no shields, it's overpowered. That's why it's not a gun like that in this game.
Oh, by the way, I remember we were talking about initially when the game was first coming out, when we played the multiplayer beta, that the Null Ray, which is classically the weapon of Starscream and the Seekers, we were talking about how it was odd that flying characters would have sniper rifle weapons. According to this, they were talking at the BotCon panel that initially flyers had stealth and sniper rifles. They admit that was a bad move and changed it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's just cheap, isn't it?
Well, no, I can't see flying and sniping at the same time.
Oh, I disagree. Me and Moon mm-hmm. were playing Escalation. And the most success, one of the best successes we had was us both flying mm-hmm. at the start of the map and them not getting anywhere near us.
Yeah.
Well, they're AI, and they're retarded. So.
Well, it's not just that, but we can get to a high point like that.
Well, yeah. That's
and then we appear. Now, imagine if you added Cloak and a Null Ray to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
We fly to any point on the map, cloaked, land, take aim. You can't see us because you can only see cloaks close up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see us. We headshot you.
How about that map that we were playing? I don't remember the name of the map, but the map that we were playing on multiplayer where I was like, okay, this is a good map for the jets because we're outside, right?
Oh, yeah, the one on the shell. Yeah.
I, searched the map for a sniper as – who was I think I was playing as the Jetfire mold.
Mm-hmm.
I look for a sniper because I don't think you can put on snipers as a jet, as a scientist. So
no, you can't.
I found a sniper. I hid up into a on top of a building,
mm-hmm.
and I just started picking people off. I dropped down my sentry gun somewhere. I'm like, this is just too fucking easy.
It's the only way I found to after Moon told me, because he didn't tell me where you were playing. We're on the same team. He doesn't give me advice when we're on the same team.
I'm a horrible teammate. I'm just letting everybody know this now. I'll do everything myself if I have to. I just have
to. No, you do have to because you don't tell anyone anything.
I do. That's what I do.
Looking again at the BotCon panel for War for Cybertron, they're asking about DLC. High Moon Studios says they're working to come up with a strategy for DLC, completely committed to it, but they're not ready to announce anything just yet. That says to me we are not sure.
That says to me that they want to release something, they've already made something small.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the committed comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They've already made something small, like extra weapons, extra skins. Probably extra skins.
I personally would like to see more maps and more gameplay types.
Oh, me and Moon were talking about this earlier. There needs to be more escalation maps because there's only two.
Yeah, one for an Autobot, one for Decepticon.
I can see that being separate from a map pack, though. Like, you have your multiplayer map pack, and then you have an escalation map pack. Because that's two different... I mean, you and I will probably both play both modes, but there are people who are more interested in one than the other.
Yeah. But, I mean, take, for example... And the whole committed in talks basically says, we have something small that we're definitely going to release, but depending on the success of that, we will make something else. Obviously, if Activision had distributed the game in the UK correctly, there'd be more people playing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
And that is kind of a shout-out to our good friend Matt Clark, who unfortunately did not get the game as of this weekend. And my heart goes out to Matt, because I was trying my darndest to get the game up to yesterday, and I know what he's going through.
I know even Phil...
No offense, Toy, but this is slightly different. Because Trinidad is a slightly different, you know, is a slightly different setup.
Yeah.
In the UK, Hastings is not a small town. I think it might even be a city, but it's a large town.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's big. Mm-hmm. That nobody got the game.
That's
in
ridiculous.
In that entire town.
Yeah.
Nobody. It isn't a case of he didn't get a copy. None of
them. No. Yeah, the distribution is fucked, is what I meant, essentially. Yeah,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was explaining it to everyone because I know you know.
Because Activision was saying they didn't think the game would have sold as much as it would have over there.
Hang on. Let's think for a second. How well did Transformers movies do, even though they were kind of crap?
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that there is a very large diehard fan base.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. You spend all this money making the game, you spend all this money on viral advertising, which is most of their advertising has been viral.
Yeah.
And yet, they don't release it everywhere.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I first thought that it was, you know, the shops and that. But when I was in game, there's a game coming out called Singularity or something.
I barely know this one.
Game come out for Singularity. Do you know of the name of the game? Though?
I've heard the name passed around. Yeah.
Yeah. That when that came out, they didn't have enough copies to cover their pre-order. In my game store.
Now, here's the thing, though. I have a feeling that whoever the advertising team is behind War for Cybertron kind of slept on their hands on this one, for a couple of reasons. One being, you remember the morning that the demo came out, right?
Yeah.
And it was live, and it was yet not on the front page of the demos until later that day. I actually don't even know if it was on later that day. We had to dig through the download section just to get it.
Yeah, secondly, had to go through the thing,
Yeah, secondly, I pointed out to a guy at work, because I work in a place where we do graphic design, that the graphic design behind the cover art is horrible. Because if you notice, you have half of Optimus Prime's body on the cover, and the title takes up most of it. Now, granted that the name Transformers is a recognizable name, but you need to kind of have, especially when you have Optimus Prime should always be facing front so that you can make out his silhouette, especially those chest windows, because that is what most people identify him by. That is how he cuts a striking graphic. You'll notice that in almost any other property where they display Optimus Prime, he's always facing front because that's how his silhouette is recognized. They didn't do that in this one, and it leads me to think that their advertising team is not the best they could have gone with.
Well, they did a little bit. I'm looking at the box art right now. Mm-hmm. It shows him standing there. It's half of him. You do see the windows. You do see his face.
Right, but what I'm saying is he's so pushed off to the side that he's not the main focus of the cover.
Yeah.
No, in fact, you see Starscream before you see that. Yeah, hang on. I've just been looking up Singularity. Made by Activision.
Well, there you go then.
Released on the Friday just gone, which is before the US release date.
Mm-hmm.
And my game store didn't have enough copies to cover its pre-orders.
Is this game any good? Should we be looking into this game?
I have no idea. I have not seen any reviews on it. It's like they've released it in the UK without giving it to anyone first.
This is strange. Let me take a look at the Singularity video game Wikipedia. I'm going to be reading this for a second. Hang on.
Well, pause the podcast for a sec.
No. I'm keeping going. Apparently, it's a first-person shooter with time manipulation stuff. Oh, like we haven't seen that before.
Prince of Persia.
Well, I was thinking more. Was it Time Shift?
Time Splitters.
Well, no, Time Shift
time
was the one that
didn't have
time.
I was going to say Time Splitters didn't have actual, you know, time in the gameplay.
Yeah, there's also Fear and there's a bunch of Fear and Crisis. You could slow down time in Crisis as well. Although they, you know,
Christ.
They make the bullshit excuse that it's heightened adrenaline or some dead shit like that. I don't know.
Nobody cares. It's Crisis.
Singularity, mostly a PC game running on Unreal Engine 3, just like War for Cybertron. Looks like it sold okay. Yeah. It's,
well, yeah, because it sold out. Because they didn't give it to anyone.
It sold out with one copy because nobody fucking stopped. I read somewhere, it was either on the Moonbase team, somebody's Facebook. They said that their store had three copies, right? One for the 360, one for the PS3, and
yes,
one for the Wii.
This is Jamie. This was Jamie's store.
Was it Jamie?
They had one copy per system.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And in my town, which is quite heavy, you know, there's a lot of, you know, all the shops are always busy, the game shops, everything. Mm-hmm. HMV had three copies. Game had two copies for the PS3, two copies for the 360. The two copies for the 360 were set aside for pre-orders. Mm. The Game Station had none at all of the game. And the Blockbuster had two copies for retail and two copies for rental.
Can I share with you my little horror story about trying to get War for Cybertron? I'll make this real quick. The store that I was intending to go to get War for Cybertron, I called them on Tuesday because this, I'm not going to name the store just for safety's sake, but I did
get to come and stab you.
I did get Super Street Fighter 4 from them on the day that the game released in the States. So I was trying to see if War for Cybertron would have come out the same day too. I mean, it's a pretty high profile release, or so I thought. So I call them on Tuesday. They say, no, we're probably going to get it later in the week. Call us on Thursday or Friday. So I say, let me give them some time. Let me give them until Friday. I call them again on Friday, and I got a different person on the phone. I ask, well, do you guys have Transformers War for Cybertron for Xbox 360? The guy goes, I haven't heard of that one, but we do have Revenge of the Fallen.
Nobody wants that one, buddy.
I have never tried to kill a human being through a phone like I did that day.
Liar.
I did eventually get it from another store, and I will be doing more business with that other store because they actually knew that the game was coming, and they told me exactly what time they'd have it, and they were very polite and courteous. I ended up paying just slightly more for it, but I didn't care. You pay for good service.
I was going to say, you always pay more for good service.
Yeah,
that's why I like going to my game store. Sometimes Game Station's cheaper. Well, it's not a lie. That's a lie, technically. Normally the games in Game Station are good, but if there's a couple of dicks that you just don't deal with.
You pay for
normally
service,
women.
Huh?
Normally, the woman who works at the game station in my town, she can. One day you go there, she's the nicest person in the world, and every time you go there, it's like Hitler, and it's like she's Hitler, it's like she's Hitler, and you're a Jew.
Oh. And we just lost the rest of the listeners on that one.
I think I just broke Moon.
Moon's anti-corpsing. Send in the woman.
Moon's corpsing. Paula!
Oh, God. Yeah, so there have evidently been some problems getting War for Cybertron in a lot of different parts of the
world. She says man up.
Oh, boy, I need a cigarette now after that one.
So can we talk a little bit about I'm sure each of us has like
are we going to talk about War for Cybertron again?
Yes, I'm going back to it.
Oh my gosh, War for Cybertron, what's that?
I'm sure each of us has sort of dabbled in the multiplayer already. Has anybody like made a character in multiplayer that they want to talk about, like you know, your paint applications or anything like that?
Yes, I have my Jazz. Do you have a Jazz?
Oh, fuck you.
Off the Jesus.
My Jazz in multiplayer, he's colored like Prime. He's my Jazz Prime. It's awesome.
Jazzimus Prime.
Jazzimus Prime.
Make him all white. Jazzimus
Prime. It's just stupid. You can't make all white on the Autobot side. And this is my complaint about the game. Mm-hmm. You can't have any color you want. It's bad enough. Because I was hoping you could just be able to swap heads, swap vehicles. That would be fine. I didn't expect, like, some people expecting us to pick the parts and everything for the. It's like that's impossible.
Yeah,
they can only do so many transformations. It's a very complicated process and animation, right. And a very good animation. Anyway, So I was hoping for different heads, different bodies, mm-hmm. and four colors, and any four color you want.
Yeah, yeah.
To that go with the packs for whichever body you pick, which is fine. You don't.
Maybe some decals as well, because decals are pretty easy. Those are basically textures that are to the character.
But I know why they didn't do decals, but mm-hmm. it would have been nuts. They didn't do decals because you already have a decal because you are bought in Decepticon. So I know why they didn't. It's not really an Autobot thing. Plus, everyone would just have the one that said Wreckers on it if you're an Autobot. but what you've got is you pick your class. You then have so many character modes as have been built for that class in the game.
Right.
And then you take that character and you get the two color options you have for that faction and use it. Because not every faction, each faction doesn't have all the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And it annoys me. This is why most of my Decepticons are pink. Because
what?
There's not enough. If I can't find a good color scheme, they become pink.
You have a pink Megatron.
It's like Smash Brothers.
No, my Megatron's all white.
It's like playing Smash Brothers as the pink Captain Falcon.
Hey, Vic.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
Pink Captain Falcon with those gold nipples, wonderful.
You love it.
Street Fighter has a pink costume for Akuma.
I know, it's amazing. I own that as well, don't I? Yeah. I own the pink gi for Blanka.
I'm just saying that when you see a guy wearing a hot pink gi and the first words out of his mouth are, "My fist bleed death." It just, there's something very incongruous
kind of
about
it. It's kind of bleeding.
Yeah, like
I better quotes.
Anyway, yeah, like I was saying, because you can't have any color you want, you can't make exactly the type of form you want to make.
Yeah. Well, I lucked out.
I wanted to make Nemesis Prime.
Yeah.
You can't have black in the Autobot side, or white. You can't have black or white. Why
yes,
can't you
can't,
be black?
You can't make Ultra Magnus either.
No. It's nonsense.
Which, hang on, didn't they show us a white and blue Prime in one of the multiplayer trailers?
Yep.
I'm thinking that might just be a team color, though.
No, there's no team colors.
Well, for Team Deathmatch. Well, we have. There is no team colors for Team Deathmatch.
Yeah, what is going on here? What the hell?
Yeah.
I think Hasbro said to them.
Oh, no. With the teams, it's Autobots against Decepticons. That's why they didn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I say when we start playing today, I say we all change all our colors to pink, and we just claim that we're Clan G2.
Yes.
What about Thunder?
Ooh, hang on. If anyone has any nipple decals, they have to be gold.
Oh, God. Get off the gold nipples already.
I love gold nipples.
Oh, you love gold nipples.
I am never going to a strip club with Moon. Ever.
Why?
I'm going to slap a bitch and be like, put on some gold.
Jesus Christ. Oh, this
chin a bit.
It's the worst episode ever.
it certainly is the best as well.
Yeah. Sean is going to be pissed off that he missed out on this one.
Yeah, well, tough shit for him.
he's off doing lame things like meeting Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, and lame shit. And standing in line with Dave Willis. And didn't get me an autograph.
And having a
nobody knows
girl.
Who Dave Willis is. Don't worry if you don't
know
who he
Dave
is.
I know Dave Willis is, and that's fine by me.
And but, he's having a Waspinator off with Scott McNeil.
I wonder who'll win that.
Yeah, really, the actual Waspinator or some guy who wishes he was Waspinator?
Oh god,
some guy with poof on hair.
Some guy who never takes off his hat ever.
Actually,
also,
let's give a quick shout out to all our friends who are at BotCon and
fuck
out.
You.
I was going to say people like Rimfire,
fuck you!
Rimfire, Sean Long, TJ Omega, Joe is there. Autobot 420, John 3.0 is there.
Who won the film festival last
night?
Yes, he did.
And if you'd like to check out his stuff, go to youtube.com/John3PNT0. That's John 3.0. Check out his videos. He's really cool. He's a very talented voice actor, and he does really good Transformers-related stuff.
And he's a good friend of ours.
Yes, he is. Yeah, great guy.
Happy to touch him.
I would love to touch John and get some of his talent on me.
And then we could paint his nipples gold.
Yes! Oh. I am not naming this episode Gold Nipples.
You must.
No, he's going to name it. I'm not naming this episode Gold Nipples.
Yeah, that's it.
God. No, I have to name this episode something Transformers related. Transformers
have gold nipples. Wait, what if...
No.
What about the slit nipples that Bumblebee has on the toy?
What?
Oh, yeah, that's true. He does.
I don't want to know about this.
You get to put stuff in them.
I'm going to hang up right now.
I got nothing. I've got nothing. I've really got nothing for that one. Slit nipples. I'm done.
Really quick before we end this, if we're going to end this, I don't know.
Pretty soon. Yeah.
No, this will never end.
Yeah, this will
never end. It'll go on forever.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, at the end of this, I'm going to tack on the stuff about the cookies and the biscuits.
Sweet. Oh God, shit. Unicorn.
I was so tired.
So, Aaron Archer mentioned somewhere that in the franchise, something involves Beast Wars in the game.
Ooh.
Very vague, but got a huge cheer from the people who were at the panel.
Interesting.
So that just tickled my dick a little bit because I'm a huge Beast Wars fan.
They also said that Hot Rod shows up in the DS version.
So does Ultra Magnus. So does
basically anybody that couldn't work into the actual decent games.
Mm-hmm.
They tagged onto the DS.
I'd love to see Ultra Magnus in this art style. He of all people, I think, fits very well with this art style. High Moon has done a really good job with this game, and let's give them some credit. Because what I think they've done, just to round off our conversation, but what I think they've done is they've taken the Arkham Asylum approach to game design, which is where they thought first of how to make a good, decent game and then applied the license thereafter. But they didn't just slap on a license. They actually went deep into the mythos and understood the source material before. Because it doesn't feel like somebody made an interpretation of a Transformers game. It feels like a Transformers game.
It does.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, you know, big ups to High Moon Studios and Activision for putting out a quality piece of software when they could have just as easily have done a cash-in product. And I would honestly like to see a sequel to this. I would like to see a sequel that takes place on Earth. I mean, I haven't seen how the game ends yet, but I'm assuming at some point they make an inference about leaving Cybertron.
As long as it's not like the Revenge of the Fallen game.
Oh God! I didn't even finish that. When they got to the point where the humans were giving when the Autobots were giving the humans a super weapon to use against the Decepticons, when in the movie Optimus Prime said that we would never give you weapons, I stopped playing the game.
That's why I didn't play the game.
Yeah, God, you're not missing much. Trust me, that was a horrible.
To be fair though, you do play to win the game.
You play to win the game. Thank you, Hermit.
Didn't play to just play it.
Moon, Hermit, shut up! You're so fluffy.
It's so fluffy.
I'm gonna die!
As long as we're doing memes, I figured, why the hell not?
Hey, Moon, look at this.
Oh, God.
It's not yet a meme.
Oh, it's past meme. It is so past meme at this point.
It's on a Sean Long video. It's a meme now.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. So, I think we better close off on this, and I will end it by tacking on the stuff about muffins and biscuits and whatnot. And, yeah, so folks, this has been our special Transformers
nonsense episode. Yeah. This has been the special episode of nonsense and gibberish.
Wait, see, this is what happens when Sean isn't here. Sean is the glue that keeps this podcast together, and we all need to sniff more Sean.
That's because he's big enough. Oh!
Zing!
Bounchica, wait, what?
What? That does not call for a bounchica. That is an uncalled bounchica wow. You have a yellow card, sir. Do that like one more time, and you'll be sent off the podcast.
What did I giggity-giggity to earlier?
Something about killing...
blowing people up.
Something, yeah, blowing people up, I think.
I'm going to kill some goats. Giggity-giggity. What?
So, folks, let's sign off on this week's episode of the Dude, Wait, What podcast. Signing off this week, I am Toya. With me today have been Moon.
What up, playa? Oh, wait, no, we're leaving. Catch you on the flip side.
Fuck you.
You bastard. In that case, like shit again.
Jamie gets to go next. Jamie,
what the hell? I don't know what to say now. Catch you on the flip side.
Oh, you can die in a fire as well. Both
and Bob.
It's the second time you've nicked my shit, man.
Wah! Wah! My name's Jamie. Wah! You fucking Wawa. You're not a Jawa anymore. You're a Wawa. Fucking crying.
Bob, say goodbye.
As long as that's
Oh, yeah. I'm leaving now, aren't I? Bye.
And I'm Toya. And goodbye. Thanks for listening. And here's some of cookies and biscuits.
Crunchy.
Well, if you bite down on it and it crunches, then it's crunchy.
Give it that doesn't, because I can see it and it's soft in the middle.
Yeah, it's hard, it's crunchy on the outside and soft.
Smooth on the inside. That's an armadillo. That's an armadillo. That's completely different. Armadillos, crunchy on the outside, smooth on the inside.
No, it's a fucking porcupine.
No, those are pointy on the outside, smooth on the inside. Yeah,
pointy and
okay,
crunchy.
Hang on. What have we learned so far? We have learned that what Bob calls biscuits, Moon calls cookies. And what Moon calls biscuits, Bob calls, what was it?
Scope.
Bread dumpling.
Bread dumpling.
Ow, fuck.
And Moon shouldn't be allowed to exist with a water bottle nearby. Because he would only injure himself. Also, we learned that armadillos are crunchy on the outside, smooth on the inside.
I'm playing catch with my water bottle, I keep dropping.
And you're failing. How can you play catch on your own and fail?
Because the ceiling is too fucking low.
How can you do this? It's just... I don't... Ow. So... Ow. So you understand now why biscuit M&Ms are okay in this country?
Yeah, but they're nothing like pretzel M&Ms.
No, they're not. I never said they were. Where did you... It's 21 minutes past one. Shut up.
I love you guys.
Oh, man. Fuck PodCon. This is better.
Oh. So, what would you call, like, a suet dumpling? Like you have of mince and dumplings.
What the hell is that?
Jesus. To the fucking Google.
I think we found the natural end of the chain.
You've got a suet dumpling. No, that's dumplings, Bob. Dumpling.
I took a dump. It was green.
Here we go.
But I don't remember having a green bagel, though.
What the hell have you been smuggling?
That's great. The thing on top of that beef stew, those are suet dumplings.
Oh, those!
What do you call them?
Potatoes. It looks like.
Is it mashed potato? Is it for what? It's not even made of potato. Oh, what mashed potatoes have you seen that are like? What if mashed potato comes out looking like a potato in potato shape? It shouldn't be a fucking mashed potato.
In a potato shape. Hence, mashed.
No, I said that those look more like a potato than mashed potato does.
Well, they're like potato balls.
Look.
Then again, so I think what Moon calls mashed potato, you call cream potato.
No. Oh,
cream.
Oh God. How runny do you have your mashed potato?
I actually don't like mashed potatoes that much.
You're not even human, are you?
I'm not. Mashed potatoes get they're too soft. I don't like it. I just don't like mashed potatoes. They don't go
too soft. They're too soft. I don't trust it. I don't trust me. They're soft.
I only
eat nails, spikes, and assorted ammunition. That's it.
Chuck Norris.
They leave too much residue in your.
Too much residue.
Residue.
What are you doing with it?
Residue. Potatoes, not industrial cleansant.
Ow. It's 23 minutes past one.
Oh, and goodness.
It's going about residue from mashed potatoes. My mind can't take it.
Posters.
My mind can't take it. What the fuck? Residue? What? Is your... Right. But when people have mashed potato, is it really runny normally?
I don't like runny mashed potatoes, hence the residue.
No, that's not my question. My question was, when people have it, is it normally really runny, or is it normally still relatively solid, but obviously mashed?
relatively solid, obviously mashed.
That's a smashed potato over here. Creamed potatoes is potato when it's completely, it's practically runny.
Okay, and okay. Just... You wanna totally blow Moon's mind? Tell him what you guys have with French fries.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Is there anything else?
Mustard? You do mustard.
Oh no, the mayonnaise thing is more of a European thing.
Well, I was actually thinking vinegar.
Oh, salt and vinegar. Oh yeah,
I've seen people do that before.
In the
salt
States.
And vinegar is awesome.
Yeah. Huh. It wasn't in New York. It was in some other state I was in.
Okay,
was
well, like... I can blow both your minds. Over here in Trinidad, when you have pizza, you put ketchup on it.
I know, you told me that before.
Oh,
I
that sounds delicious.
That. No, like... it doesn't. How does it sound delicious?
Just a little kick.
To be fair, the way Toyo explained their ketchup to me, it just sounds like what we consider the cheap shit stuff that you get in school.
It is.
School
it is.
Dinner halls and stuff. It's just for the sugar and crap that
yeah, it is.
Nobody... No adult can have. Whereas our ketchup is more vinegary than even American stuff that I've had. American ketchup's sweeter. But our stuff is vinegary. And I like it that way. I like my savory food. I'm very British in that. Brits are very much a thing of savory food and big, heavy food. Like those dumplings. It's big, heavy, hearty meal.
Dumpling.
Man food, girl.
It's the dumpling.
Dumpling. Oh, I love dumplings.
What about, since with you guys, pounds are a form of money, what do you call a quarter pounder with cheese?
Quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, okay.
Because we still, the imperial system, I love the way that America still uses the imperial system. It always makes me chuckle. The imperial system was obviously still used in the UK for a long time. Until we just started becoming this major part of the European Union, we changed the metric. So a lot of people still only work in pounds. So you say a quarter pounder, it still makes sense in the UK.
So eventually, it's going to be changed into the Royale with cheese.
No, it's not.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Only in France.
Well, probably in Holland and a few other places as well. When I go to other countries, I tend not to go to fucking McDonald's. I try to sample the food from the country instead. Hey, I'm in Holland. Let's go to McDonald's. And then KFC. And then Burger King. Yay! It's like we never left home.
Fucking hell, poster. Stop falling off.
So, yeah, but this is something that blew my mind when I was in America. You have mashed potato and gravy in KFC.
Yeah. We got that over
that's
here.
Like, that's just like, that just blew my mind. It was amazing. I loved it.
Why is Gary messaging me?
Because he loves you and he wants to stick his dick